This is Friar Roderick here for Amaria.com, and we're going to interview Peter Wolfgang for the second time today. How you doing, Peter?
Well, I'm still here. It's been quite an incredible day. I mean, we had 5,000 people at the state capitol. Family Institute of Connecticut was heavily involved in that throughout the day, and it was just a wonderful success. We flipped a few votes on another bill, which is also a threat to religious liberty. And then I came here to the University of Hartford, and I debated the Connecticut head of NARAL, the pro-abortion group, on that issue.
Yeah, it was a very great day and a very full day. So how'd it go with this this evening now?
Well, I'm getting good feedback. You know, it's sometimes hard to tell when you're testifying before a judiciary committee or you're here on a debate like this and you're the guy up there thinking on your feet and responding. But the folks in the audience have given me very positive feedback.
Yeah, I thought it went very well. It was a very helpful debate, and it was very informative. And I think you kind of got her on a few points. What are some of the main points that struck you on that?
Well, you know, to me, and I think to everyone who's pro-life, the big argument is the civil rights argument. I was talking about civil rights in the history of this country. It was all to me very Father Newhouse, the late Father Richard John Newhouse, my great hero, who unfortunately just passed late last year. But the idea that, look, that the history of our nation has always been enlarging that circle of the commonly protected in our society, who is part of the community of persons for which we take responsibility. And the history of the United States has always been, you know, we started off with just white men over the age of 21 could own property, but it increased for there. We came to understand that, no, African Americans are people. Women should have the right to vote. I mean, we were constantly increasing who was part of that community. And Catholics. And Catholics. Here in Connecticut, Catholics weren't allowed to own property for many years. But that's the way it went until you hit 1973 with Roe versus Wade. And then for the first time in our history, one class of people had their rights taken away. The Supreme Court said, no, with this class of persons, we're going to declare them either non-persons, or I think the phrase they used was potential life,
right.
And we're going to withdraw protection from them. And what we're asking for is that protection be restored, that we return to that great American tradition of enlarging civil rights for everyone and work for a day when every unborn child will be protected in law and welcomed in life.
That's great. And she never really answered that question as to when a person is a person.
The potential life thing. She was quoting Roe versus Wade on, you know, there's potential life that maybe the state has a vested interest in. And my point on potential life is, you know, goodness gracious, imagine there's a building that's condemned. You're about to blow up the building. Before you do, you thought you saw something in the window. There may be someone running around in there. The building may not have been completely cleared. What do you do? Do you still blow up the building? Because potentially there's someone in there, but we're not sure. Maybe, maybe not. Of course not. You would stop the demolition. You would go inside that building. You check it one more time, and you would make absolutely certain there is no one in there before you blow up the building, because you don't want to kill a potential life.
Right.
So this notion, even by Roe v. Wade's own stated standards,
right,
anyway, if the unborn is only potential life, well, then we must err on the side of life and not kill this potential life.
So if you concede half the argument, you're still on the right side.
Absolutely.
Right. And then the other thing she was focusing on was this idea that she wants to stop unwanted pregnancies. Of course, that always puts forth this idea of very bad morals to start with, that you're asking women to be on the same level of men, but on a very low level of men, very, you know, that is promiscuity and practicing immoral sex, basically, that's going to get you unwanted pregnancies.
Well, this is the new thing from the pro-abortion side. They say, oh, goodness gracious, we'd like to reduce abortion. Well, you can't reduce abortion by promoting abortion. When the same groups that their whole reason for existing is to promote the abortion license and to keep it on the books claim to be reducing abortion, you really have to scratch your head and wonder, you know, what's their thing now? What are they up to now?
To lose some morals, basically.
Right. I mean, that's it. It's really just a cover for pushing what they call comprehensive sex ed, which is contraception to the schools, like you said, immoral behavior. And, you know, this doesn't make the world a better place, and it doesn't decrease abortion. It increases the likelihood of abortion. You know, to promote comprehensive sex ed is necessarily to promote sex to children. If you promote sex to children, they're going to have more of it, and contraception fails. In fact, when you're throwing around the contraception, it actually increases their the likelihood that they're going to take chances, that they're going to engage in risky behavior. So it doesn't logically follow that more contraception will lead to less abortion.
Nor does it follow in actual fact as far as the data and stuff is concerned, right?
That's right. I mean, something like 50-51% of, and this is according to like the Guttmacher Institute, and I pulled it off the Catholic Bishop's website, and I gotta find this again. But the stat shows that a slim majority of the women who go in for an abortion say they were using contraception when they got pregnant.
Right. Yeah. Wow. So this is it's been a very busy day, Pete, and I think I'm going to give you a break now, and I just want to give you a compliment on your courageousness in both fighting the legislature today and in confronting head-on in public a pro-abortion leader.
Well, I just, you know, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, and all glory to Jesus Christ and his church and our Blessed Lady.
Well, great. That's wonderful. Glory be to God, and God bless you, Pete.
God bless you too, Fra Roderick, and everyone watching on Air Maria. And I want to say to everyone around the country who's watching this now, thank you. Thank you for your prayers and your support here in the state of Connecticut. It has been a very difficult week. We've never seen religious liberty come under attack in our state the way it did this week. But, you know, we know that God, everything works together for the good for those who love God. And that's what we've seen this week. We had an incredible turnout at the state capitol. It's a victory, the likes of which I've never seen. The church has really come alive here in the state of Connecticut. And if it can happen in Connecticut, it can happen anywhere.
Well, that's great, Pete. I'm happy. Are you happy?
Very happy.
I'm tired, too. So God bless you all. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.